Welcome to Beyond the Ballot. This week, we're looking ahead to the 2029 general election. What could the political map look like, and what does this mean for Labour, the Conservatives, and the emerging insurgents that are reshaping British politics as we know it? We'll break down the latest political trends, polling, swing seats, and party strategies, as well as potential challenges to Keir Starmer within Labour, and whether his leadership will survive a turbulent election. We'll cut through the headlines to see what really matters for voters and for the people who want to lead them. So let's get into it. I'm Max, and I'm joined as ever by my sharp-eyed co-host Rory. Now, Rory, hello and welcome to the show.
It's great to be back.
And today we're going to be talking about the list of potential candidates for the Labour leadership if Keir Starmer steps down, with a verdict on each of these candidates. So, Rory, as you've expressed in the past, you don't think Keir Starmer will last very long. Would you care to explain again for our listeners?
So I don't think Keir's going to be long. I think that's an opinion that's shared by a lot of like-minded people, myself, a lot of people across the country, whatever party or whatever colours you fly. I think I'm actually very surprised he's lasted this long. I would have thought that he would have left all this backlash. He's lost control of his Labour Party. And so these Mandelson files were really going to rock the boat. I thought upon the initial release, he would go. He's survived. I thought that he'd be gone after the Gorton-Denton by-election, even if it was a green win. It was a huge green win. Overturned a majority of over 40%, over 35% at least, and actually made a 15-point lead over the Labour Party. Labour Party dropped to third place. That was awful, awful for the Labour Party. I would have thought he would have gone then, but he's still there. I think the May elections is literally the deadline I'm putting on Keir Starmer's premiership. I would be extremely surprised if he survives them, because he's expected to be the first Labour leader to lose Scotland in over a century. Wales. In Scotland, about 18 months ago, his party was projected to completely sweep that election against the SNP. Now they're fighting for third place, even fourth place, against Reform, the SNP, the Tories, and now the Greens as well. Lib Dems are not really a force in Scotland. I'm actually really waffled about and so surprised about how Keir has survived this long. And obviously we'll get onto the leadership candidates, but not to spoil anything. But I think it's a testament to the talent inside the Labour Party, or the lack of, that they feel like they're better. They've got better electoral chances with Keir Starmer, who's polling at 15%, than anyone else. And I think that's a really dire situation for Keir Starmer to be in.
Okay, so just to address your point then. So if you obviously thought as soon as the Mandelson files were released that Keir Starmer would leave.
I thought that was that. No, I didn't. I think that would be the start of some backlash.
You thought perhaps that would be the start of some backlash, but
there was a bit of backlash, but I wasn't surprised. I mean, I thought he could go.
But why hasn't he stepped down? Realistically, don't you think that...
Because he doesn't take responsibility. I don't know why. I don't think he will step down, I think. Although he won't do it voluntarily.
But doesn't he believe that he might be able to turn it round, perhaps? Obviously, otherwise he wouldn't stay in the job. Like, why give yourself more of this burden of being Prime Minister?
If pigs could fly, I mean, he's not going to turn this around. He said he turned the country around 18 months ago. Sorry, why am I making all these figures up? And the only thing he's turned around is actually his polling numbers. I don't know. I've never seen a... You thought Rishi Sunak was a terrible prime minister.
Who I did?
No, one would have thought Rishi Sunak.
One would have thought, yeah. I would disagree with that.
I think Rishi Sunak was actually quite a good prime minister.
Well, I think he saw the fact that Labour would put everyone's taxes up. I mean, he mentioned it quite often.
Yeah, I think that
was a warning to the country.
Told you so kind of moment from Rishi Sunak. But no, I think, it's quite... I don't think Keir Starmer's going to turn this around. I think... the Mandelson files, I thought it would start a conversation. It did start a conversation. Not as far as I thought it would have gone, but I thought it would have set the scene for a terrible election loss in Gorton-Denton. Obviously didn't, so Keir's still here. No rhyme intended. But I wasn't surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if he left in that moment. But I wasn't surprised when he didn't, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And in terms of, if we're going to look at the candidates, we're probably going to, I feel like we should go through each one and just say what we think about them, yep. really, and yep. whether we think they'd make a great prime minister.
So a terrible one.
I've drawn up a list here.
How many are on your list?
Six people.
Okay.
And I obviously, for everyone listening, I will let you guess in a minute. I have not told Rory, who is on this list for the benefit of spontaneity.
Yes.
So, Rory, I'm just gonna spring out some names.
No, I'm gonna guess the names.
Well, all right, go on. You guess the first
okay,
name.
Okay, so my first one's Angela Rayner.
Okay, so Angela Rayner, number one on my list.
West Streeting.
West Streeting's actually not on my list.
West Streeting is not
West
on
Streeting
your list.
West Streeting is not on my list.
Really?
He's not on my list. And we'll obviously debate that later. But
okay, fine. Well, that's another person that we can put on the list. Andy Burnham, have you put him on there? You
can't. Well, no, but he's not going to be able to.
He won't be able to do it, but just out of interest, have you put him on the list?
Well, no, because if he's not going to be able to do it, then why would he be on
there? Okay, fine. So he's not on the list. Ed Miliband.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, he's got experience in it before. So.
Lucy Powell?
No, I don't. I don't feel like she's going to be able to.
No, she won't. Who else? Bridget Phillipson?
These are just sort of people in cabinet, as in they aren't potentially the best people to replace him, but perhaps
Rachel
the people
Reeves.
Who were closest to, yeah, Rachel Reeves, perhaps the
Yvette
people
Cooper.
Who were closest, yeah.
David Lammy.
Yeah, people who were closest to Keir Starmer.
Okay, why have you put Rachel Reeves? Well,
okay, she might not be, but she's close to Keir Starmer. So realistically,
that's electorally toxic.
What, being close to the Prime Minister?
Being close to Keir Starmer. Yes.
Well, no, she's got position in high office. She's got experience with managing public finances. Clearly, she could perhaps be someone
experience.
Who you find trustworthy. She might not be. You might not think she's the best chancellor ever, but she does have experience in the Treasury.
A bad experience.
Okay, experience is experience.
Sorry.
Rory.
Okay, I'm being a bit unfair. Not a bad experience. An absolutely awful, appalling experience.
Okay, and well, why is it an appalling experience? Go on then.
She promised growth. Where's the growth in January?
Well, but that's pretty much the same thing with all the governments. They all promise growth and they never actually deliver in the end.
Okay, well, how come GDP nearly doubled under New Labour?
Under New Labour?
Yeah, under New Labour. Tony Blair and Gordon Brown.
Okay, well, of the state of the economy at the time is a lot different to the state of the economy
crash.
Now. No, but... okay. It's obviously a lot of testament to their ability as Prime Minister to be able to change the situation around. Rachel Reeves, working with what she has, okay, she should be doing better, shouldn't
okay,
she?
Okay, well, okay, in her fairness, I guess she worked at the Bank of England as some barista or something.
Barista?
Well, she
did not work at the Bank, okay.
Okay, but she's not like Goldman Sachs advisor.
Okay, she's not exactly...
She's not like Rishi Sunak.
Yeah, okay, she's not the best, but she's the only Chancellor we have right now, isn't she, so...
Our only hope. Oh, what a terrible position to be in. Yes. Okay.
Okay, so in terms
so
of...
So, have I forgotten anyone? Ed Miliband.
No, you
Rayner.
Haven't. I put Keir Starmer himself if he attempts a late comeback, but we know that you will wash that one away. So, okay.
I don't think that's even worth
discussing. So, in terms of Angela Rayner, just a bit of context, she was obviously the former deputy leader and former shadow chancellor. And
shadow chancellor?
Yes.
Okay, was she the former housing secretary? Shadow chancellor?
She was the former shadow chancellor.
Okay, let's keep going. I'm just going to fact check that.
And in terms of her background, she has a very strong working class appeal, so she's going to be quite likely to be able to appeal to a lot of the people in the country who are especially struggling with this cost of living crisis. And she is a strong contender, and she could be able to... She might be able to unify the moderates and the progressives, but will obviously face this scepticism because of obviously the problems that obviously led to her resignation. Rory, what do you think?
Well, I mean, she's got a tax scandal and that hasn't been solved yet. So that could be very damaging for her. And I don't think she's actually in the clear. I don't think she's actually allowed to... Maybe this is just some thing I've researched. But I don't know if she's actually allowed to run or be Prime Minister if she's got some kind of watchdog scandal thing. I may be wrong. But the point is she's got a lot of baggage. So there is a chance that...
Which is, she's got her problems. Herself. Yeah, but obviously she has. Okay, she has experience, like, once again, working very high up in the leadership framework of the Labour Party. And this could potentially transpire into a challenge of Keir Starmer, especially since this has almost been a long time coming. I mean, there was a time, especially when Morgan McSweeney resigned, when a lot of the population were thinking, when is this leadership challenge going to be coming in, especially from Angela Rayner or Wes Streeting. And there was obviously a lot of talk about Wes Streeting and the briefings that were given against Keir Starmer and a lot of scrutiny that happened because of that. And we'll obviously move on to Wes Streeting later. But in terms of moving back to Angela Rayner, despite the fact that she has a lot of baggage, like you said, she would not, I think she would do a good job at appealing to, as I said before, the working class population of Britain, especially
I think that's a good point. I think she's probably not a popular across the board, but she's very popular with certain elements of the Labour Party, elements that could have or are moving or shifting towards the Greens at the moment. I think if I was a Labour strategist, God forbid, I would move to the left, because I'm seeing at least 20% of the Great British public being polled at the moment are intending to vote Green, according to YouGov, or that was at least 2 weeks ago. And Labour's now at, I think in that poll they're at 16%. So if she wants easy people to win back, she's going to have to shift left. And she is left-wing by instinct as well. So I think that is a very, I wouldn't say quality, but that's something that she could bring to the table. As far as you saying that she was Chancellor, she was the Chancellor, not of the Exchequer, of the Duchy of Lancaster.
So maybe I should have specified, but...
But I guess I don't know if I'll accept that. I'll give you the benefit of the doubt.
okay, thank you.
But okay, fine. So, Angela Rayner, on a scale of 1 to 10, how do you think she would
fare?
With the public or in the Labour leadership context?
Oh, with the public. Oh, no, with the public, an 8, but in office...
Seven. Do you think she'd be better than Keir? Electorally, as in like polling wise.
In terms of polling, well, I don't think you can really go lower than what Keir Starmer has achieved.
I think the only person that can go lower than Keir is Keir himself.
Now that right there is a quote and a half. And I think it perfectly sums up the way that, especially 18 months ago, obviously the Labour Party took around 400 seats.
412.
Around 412 seats.
Crazy.
And obviously that was probably one of the best moments of Keir Starmer's career as a politician.
Yeah.
But since then, it's sort of all gone downhill. As you've mentioned before in the past, scandal after scandal.
And he promised honesty.
And that has led to the whole public not even trusting our Prime Minister anymore.
Yeah.
So if it's time for change, obviously Angela Rayner is perhaps someone that the Labour Party could be looking at.
Yeah.
But there is obviously the issue with her tax scandals and the baggage as well.
Yes,
so
exactly.
So we agree on that?
Yeah.
Okay. So now if we move on to Rachel Reeves, and I'm just going to start this one off and say what I say, because I know what you're going to say.
Yep.
And I think the listeners are going to know what you're going to say as well. So just for context, everyone knows that Rachel Reeves is currently the Chancellor of the Exchequer. And to be honest, she lacks charisma, okay? She can't energise
Are you saying that in a way that people aren't agreeing
I'm
with you?
I know, she lacks charisma and she lacks competency, okay? As you mentioned before, she obviously is struggling to deliver growth and there's a lot of pressure on her to help provide for... Well, there are lots of different aspects of the country's economy.
Yes.
Small businesses are struggling. The interest rates on student loans are obviously through the roof right now.
Yeah.
And with a lot of pressure on her, she's almost crumbling under that pressure, especially with the problems with the OBR forecast being leaked before the budget had already happened.
God.
So, and what do you think?
Crying in the Commons.
That? Yeah.
Saying that her actual economic performance was worse so she could raise taxes. Going back to honesty, if there's one person that lacks honesty, Rachel Reeves. What are we not going to do in the general election? We're not going to raise your taxes. We're not going to raise taxes in this next budget.
She raised
taxes in your next budget. We're going to deliver growth. She did not deliver growth. Yeah. Everything that she says she's going to do, maybe she has the will to do it, but when you see the results, well, you can't see the results. I don't think she's even worth talking about. I would be so surprised if she even puts her hat in the ring.
But the thing is, though, is she will, because she's delusional. Well, you'll need
The way Labour works, you need, like, obviously not everyone can put like their hat in the ring. So there are nominations, and I don't think there are a lot of Labour MPs who are actually going to nominate Rachel Reeves. So I don't think she's even going to get like past the first.
But why would you say that even Labour MPs wouldn't? Surely you'd think that the whole country obviously don't appreciate her. Surely in her own party she would have some supporters.
She probably has a few supporters. I don't know what faction of the party she is, but if she's on the left of the party, she's going to get completely munched by Angela Rayner. If she's on the right of the party, she's going to get completely munched by Wes Streeting. And so neither candidate, I think actually the way Labour MPs work, I don't think they look at it, and this is going to sound terrible, but they don't look at it in a way as, oh, who's going to deliver best for the country? Maybe they look at it in that way, a few of them maybe. But I'm sure there are a few who, or they mainly think about, oh, who's going to be able to provide me the basis where I can retain my seat at the next election. Particularly those people with really narrow majorities and safe Conservative seats, or what were safe Conservative seats.
Yeah.
Rachel Reeves does not deliver that. She's the most unpopular politician in the country. Most unpopular cabinet secretary, obviously. She is stealing people's money when she was elected into that position, saying that she wouldn't do that. I think she... You think people can't go as low as Keir Starmer? I think Rachel Reeves could actually oversee the complete annihilation of the Labour Party as we know it.
What, even more than the annihilation that you mentioned 2 weeks ago when you said Keir Starmer was driving the Labour Party to annihilation?
Yeah, well, I think Keir Starmer, okay, I think what I'd say is Keir Starmer's probably on a two-wheel drive, I think.
Would you say Keir Starmer?
Rachel Reeves has got a full tank.
Okay, here's a question for you then. Would you say Keir Starmer would be, well, he's obviously Prime Minister now, but do you think Keir Starmer's better than Rachel Reeves?
100%.
There we go.
Electorally, 100%. I like neither of them. You're basically asking for dumber or dumber. I mean, literally. But, yeah.
It's always dumb instead of dumber, realistically.
Why is Keir Starmer hated? Mainly the economy. I mean, if you look at it, what are the main things?
He's also not a very good speaker.
He's not a good speaker, but, if you're delivering... I think you would agree with me that a Prime Minister who is... got good policies, he can't really deliver it, or she can't really deliver it well.
Okay, a Prime Minister that has good policies might not be a great public speaker.
Yes, better than the alternative. I think the point is that people like policy rather than personality. Personality, but like policy is more important.
But with like, with Boris Johnson, he had a personality.
Yes.
And that's probably the reason people wanted him to be our Prime Minister. Obviously some policy things as well, but...
He wanted to get Brexit done. That was why he won the 2019 election.
Yeah, he wanted to get...
55% of the country voted for... Or 52% of the country voted for Brexit.
Okay, but Theresa May was brought in to get Brexit done as well.
She was a Remainer.
She never did that in the end, did she?
She was a Remainer.
So why... Okay, no, just moving off topic then here. Why would they bring her in if she was a Remainer and she had a job of getting the Brexit deal done?
To be honest, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but that's a massive blunder on the Conservative Party's part.
She beat Andrea Leadsom, who herself was a Brexiteer. I don't know why Andrea Leadsom did not become Prime Minister, because surely if David Cameron resigned because he was a Remainer and he knew he could not deliver Brexit, why did he just put another Remainer in? Like, you should have just kept David Cameron, surely.
Okay.
From the side, just to settle this debate, my position of it at least, I think a popular politician... or a politician with good policy, people can feel more money in their pockets, they feel safe at night, they are much more likely to be successful than a politician that can speak well but has absolutely no results to back that up. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
with
okay,
you.
Fine.
Yeah.
So I think, yes, Keir Starmer does. I think if he delivered better, I think he'd be in a much better position. I don't think people are voting based on personality. I think they vote based on policy. Who's going to give me more money? Who's going to make me feel much more safer economically, crime-wise?
Just in general, yeah.
In general. That's kind of the point of the government, militarily. I don't think Rachel Reeves, her specific department is the economy. And
she is faltering badly.
Faltering is a...
I'm making it nice, okay? Yeah. I don't like to be pessimistic when it comes to this sort of thing. I know you.
I'm a pessimist. I think.
God, I'm more of an optimist than a pessimist.
Okay, well, an optimist would say that she's toast.
Really? Yeah. You would say that?
Yes,
okay.
They
okay.
would.
Okay.
Okay, so she's not even worth. She's like that. Okay. I don't know if why we dedicated so long to her.
No. She's always someone who has to be addressed.
Okay.
Okay.
Elephant in the room.
In terms of David Lammy now, okay, so everyone you know, listening at home.
Least favorite
obviously,
cabinet secretary.
Deputy Prime Minister now. And to be honest, I don't know where I really stand with David Lammy, to be honest. I feel like he's a bit on and off, to be honest. I don't think he was that bad in the Foreign Office, to be honest. I just think he got moved to Deputy Prime Minister. Obviously, there's a void that needed to be filled. And he was obviously moved into the Justice Department as well. And especially with the problems with the migrant sex offenders and how he didn't know how many he'd let loose on the streets, obviously compromises that idea of people wanting to feel safe at night.
Yeah.
Like you mentioned. Mm. And I feel like that might not be the main reason why the Labour Party don't choose him to be their Prime Minister. But I think he's a bit dry, to be honest. I didn't think, okay, you said personality, not exactly the main reason why people vote someone in. But I still would like a bit of charisma with our Prime Minister, just because in terms of getting, especially with foreign relations, when you're meeting with these very powerful figures on a geopolitical stage, like Trump and Xi Jinping, you need to have a little bit about you to be able to show off, okay, what Britain's really about, you know, bring to the table something, okay? I mean, if you just go there and you don't really appeal to that leader, then realistically, the chances of you getting, I don't know, potentially a trade deal through is not exactly going to help them.
No.
Roy, would you agree?
Well, no. I don't. I agree.
Have you got anything, any opinion about David Lammy at all?
Oh, David Lammy.
David Lammy we're talking about.
He's my least favourite cabinet secretary.
Really? Okay. All right. This is interesting.
With a passion.
And why is that? Because
he's so incompetent. He's so incompetent.
Okay. Incompetent at what? His job. Well, yeah, okay, yeah,
okay,
fine.
Let's go. Okay, right, you think he did an okay job in the Foreign Office?
No.
What did he want to do in the Foreign Office? He wanted to give away a military base, which is currently in the centre of what's going on in Iraq.
As I'm saying, when we talk about how someone does in a specific office, okay, if they haven't done anything, he didn't do anything in the position, so he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, he did a lot of things wrong.
And what did he do wrong?
Chagos deal.
Okay, but can you explain that?
Okay, so
to
the Chagos
listeners,
deal, just Chagos deal, which is probably the single most stupid thing that the Labour government has ever put forward, is there's this 1960 Lancaster Agreement, which meant that Britain bought the Chagos Islands off Mauritius and then let Mauritius be independent. I think it was in the 1960s. We've bought it. Chagos Islands and the Chagos Archipelago are ours. There's talk that, the Tories started this. Yes, the Tories started this, but only just to see, like, how much they wanted for it.
Well, testing the waters and maybe.
Well, no, they were just, testing, what the Mauritians thought, just starting conversation, because now you've got the UN and some international courts saying, it actually should be Mauritian. Which it shouldn't, because it's more than 3,000 miles away. If you're going to give it to the country that's closest, either give it to the Maldives or give it to the Seychelles. Why are you giving it to Mauritius? Mauritius is like, Cyprus is closer to Mauritius. Like, it's crazy. Oh, not Mauritius, the Chagos Islands. It's crazy. Then we're going to lose a military base, or we're going to have to pay to keep the military base on a lease. So you're basically going to pay, like, it's so stupid, because you're now going to pay 99 years, you're going to pay billions of pounds. You've got Rachel Reeves wrecking the economy, and then you're spending more money on defence, yes, but only so you can pay for something that you already have. Like, it makes absolutely no sense.
That's completely pointless, isn't it?
Well, yeah, you're losing money you want to generate wealth. And I think when they meant, increased defence spending, I don't think that's increased ways that we can waste our money. I think that's, let's invest in new missiles and technology so we can actually defend ourselves, instead of giving away military bases, which completely defies the entire point of a stronger military. So David Lammy's been an ardent supporter of this, which is absolutely stupid. And I'd like to congratulate one of my three favourite female or politicians, Tory politicians, or one of them was a Tory politician, Suella Braverman, Kemi Badenoch, and Priti Patel. Priti Patel, Shadow Foreign Secretary, she's completely hammering this Labour government into conceding a lot of the more controversial stuff in this legislation. The Tory Lords, thank God, they are now going to... They've now been blocking a lot of these amendments, or at least putting amendments in.
Yeah.
So well done, Conservative Lords. But then David Lammy, he has the cheek to say, oh, well, it'd actually be better for this country if we give away this island because it provides more security. No, it doesn't. You're getting rid of the island. So how's that helping your security? Then we moved him to the Justice Department. Oh, God. Then he'd been letting out criminals.
criminals
for the entire autumn. Now, if people didn't feel safe at night...
Why would they feel safe with him as Prime Minister? So
exactly. I mean, he can't... He went to the Foreign Office, didn't do that well. He's now in the Justice Department. Probably the worst Justice Secretary we've had in a long, long time. Do you agree? I don't know. I mean, to be honest, it tells you all you need to know. I didn't even know all the stuff with the Justice Secretary, but I'm so uber confident that he's one of the worst. Like, look, he's awful.
Yeah. I mean...
And he goes around and he says... Oh, you're all talking to me because I'm like you think I'm stupid or everything. Yes, we do think you're stupid. So have a bit more self-confidence. Like, oh my God, he drives me insane. Oh, and then when he covered for
he was appalling at the PMQs. All he did was deflect. There was not
all six
a single
questions
ounce.
That James Costledge asked. Are there any more? Illegal migrant sex offenders on the street. He said no every time. Then what happened 2 hours later? At least 10 or at least two were on the street.
Yeah.
So yeah, well done, David. You had six times. All the times you had, you said no. Now it turns out yes. So that was pretty embarrassing on your part. So David Lammy, no. I don't even talk about him anymore. It was awful.
Okay. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, I just wanted to let you rant for a few minutes to listen to what you had to say, really.
Just
to be honest.
Everything inside of me, yeah.
And, okay, so if we move on now to Wes Streeting, which is an interesting one, because I know I just added him to my list, I completely missed him. My bad. So he's got a... So obviously he's the health secretary now, and he's got a strong media presence. He's got that charismatic appeal, I'd say. And he's... especially amongst the Labour voters, he's quite popular and he's been seen as a strong contender for the leadership of the party.
Yeah.
Particularly after his disagreements behind the scenes, perhaps with Keir Starmer, which have sparked speculation about his true political ambition. I mean, what does he want to be remembered as? I mean, you can tell he has bigger goals and aspirations in mind.
Yep.
He wants that top job. And, I mean, additionally, a poll suggests that many voters would prefer him as Prime Minister over Keir Starmer. And this shows this indicating growth for his leadership. For me, I'm quite open to the idea of anyone, to be honest. I mean, obviously, apart from David Lammy, Rachel Reeves, I'm, like, on the scale of our 1 to 10, like we did with Angela Rayner. Mm-hmm. They'd probably be down towards the 4 or the 3 section.
Yeah.
But with Wes Streeting, he's probably maybe at a higher, in a higher section.
Yeah, I say he's probably about
perhaps. I think he'd be able to, I think he's quite, he like Angela Rayner, he'd be able to galvanise the working class as well. Don't you think?
Nope.
You don't think that?
Nope. He represents the same faction, same centrist faction, as Starmer does. I think if they elect Wes Streeting, I think that shows the direction that Labour's going in. They're not shifting left. I think that'd be really good news for the Greens, because he's just going to... If you think about it, Keir Starmer, he's only got so long left, but as soon as you put a new fresh face, he's going to be there for at least a year, I'm going to hope. Or
what if
hope,
you introduce a fresh face into the party?
Well,
yes,
yeah,
like,
if you're going to change the actual like person who runs the show or the face of what's going on, he's probably got at least a year. Well, definitely. I'm not suggesting he's going to be axed by the end of the year, but that will just provide more time for the Greens to just take more support, because one of the reasons that the Greens are really surging is because Labour are not being left-wing enough. They're pandering too much to the likes
towards
of
the
reform.
They're not even left, like you said, like on other episodes, they're not left-wing anymore.
This government, I think, is probably a centre-right government at this point. And they're supposed to be a left-wing, centre-left party. I think from a general perspective, the general public, he's probably the least worst option. But if you're talking about the left, just generally, he would be... Like, that would be awful for the Labour Party because he does not have the ideology or the actual kind of politics to actually bring back those voters who have gone to the Greens. And he may even lose even more if he keeps going on this rightwards trajectory, which the Labour Party is going on. I mean, you think about 2019, it was the most left-wing party that left-wing Labour Party we had seen in, like, decades.
Yeah.
Like, not since, like, the 1970s. So, now, I think it represents a huge shift. I mean, obviously, Labour did very well in 2017, 40% of the vote, denied Theresa May a majority, and she won 43% of the vote, which is up about 7 points from 2015. So, I think Labour have got a real opportunity, and I think... not just to unite the left, but also to kind of bring or preserve their like actual whole grip on power. And I don't think West Streeting actually offers that electorally or like politically. But I think he would be the least worst prime minister in my perspective.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of understand where you're coming from in that sense. But I think... I mean, looking at what he's doing now as health secretary, he's not... I don't know if you follow this sort of thing, but I don't think he's doing a very good job with the NHS. I mean, the Labour Party have continuously been promising that the waiting lists would come down.
Mm.
I've not seen any waiting lists coming down or more doctors being trained. Their promises about the NHS, the health services, getting it improved, investing more money in the public services, increasing the taxes to fund the public health service, which has not even improved at all, has been a massive waste of time.
Also,
nothing has changed.
Also, he's lost all bargaining room with the unions, and now he gave them a huge pay increase when he came to power. Now he has like no more money to give, which is probably a good thing. But also now they're still going on strike, so he's not solved the problem at all. As far as the waiting lists, yes, I think that's a really good point. I did not think about that, so courtesy to you. But Labour are saying, oh yes, we've got not 2 million, not 3 million, not 4 million, but 5 million extra appointments. Extra appointments and waiting lists are probably not really the same thing. Would you agree?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, maybe all they do...
He's probably cut the waiting list, yes, but he's not cut it as much as...
As they would have wanted to, yeah.
Or the people would have expected.
Yeah, well, no, but they just blame... I mean, I don't know if this is common with every government that inherits a certain state of the country, but all they've done is say, oh yeah, well, this problem is due to the government that came before us. Well, why don't you stop complaining about that and do something about it?
What I'm really excited is that when Keir Starmer goes, they will not be able to use that phrase anymore because the last government would have been Keir Starmer's
government. It's his government, yeah. That's a really good point,
so,
actually.
So I'll be excited for that. But yeah, I mean, I think he's probably... Obviously, I classify myself as a centre-right to right-wing person. I think, ideologically, he's probably the closest to me. He's probably centrist, maybe at least, or as left-wing as you could go, centre-left to left-wing, to centrist, yeah?
Yes.
So kind of Lib Dem, like.
Yeah.
I think that's the closest to me. That's why I'm not saying he's the best. He'd be the least worst, because I don't think there are a lot of best people or good people in the Labour Party. Obviously not personality, but just talent-wise. But I think there's a huge proportion of the population is... even left, more left-wing than the Labour Party. And that percentage or that proportion is going to the Greens. And I think if I was a Labour strategist, he would not be good because he doesn't have the experience ideologically or politically to actually deliver those left-wing ideals that Labour require right now.
Would you say that you're more centre-right or right-wing just in general? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, I say...
I mean, we were like 2 weeks ago we were having a debate about how you...
Yes.
Yeah, you didn't think that Reform was a far-right party.
Well, I don't think Reform are far-right, and everyone's like,
they're definitely right-wing, but they're not...
They're definitely
they
right-wing. I'm not conceding that. I just think far-right is a bit... I don't know. I just associate far-right with Nazi, and I don't think they're Nazi level. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, but 100% they're not Nazi level.
Level, but I think that's kind of the epitome of far-right Nazi. We have this other thing when Daniel comes on, because I'm sure he'll have a very valiant argument against me. But as far as where I sit, I used to be kind of on the right wing fringes, kind of the Suella Braverman kind of wing of the party. And over like 3 years, I've kind of shifted to the centre, and I'd now class myself as kind of a mainstream centre-right to centre-right wing.
Yeah.
And maybe a touch on the right.
Yeah.
It depends. Socially, I'd say I'm much more right-wing than I am economically. Actually, you know what? I'm probably on the right of the party. Okay. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I'm probably on the right of the party.
Okay. And we're just moving, like, in term... Okay, well, speaking of people who are right-wing, not yeah. just making a joke, in terms of another potential successor that I've... Well, obviously, that could be on the... I don't want to talk about her, to be honest. I'd rather talk about Shabana Mahmood, to be honest.
Do or don't?
Yeah, I want to talk about her. I think
she's got.
I want to address the fact
that I think she could.
Let me go first. Okay, so you mentioned before on this podcast that you think that Shabana Mahmood is perhaps like, in terms of where the Labour Party sit on the spectrum of left and right, she's right.
She is on the right wing.
She is on the right, like, wing of the Labour Party.
She's probably. I don't know. She's probably maybe. Like right wing socialist.
Yeah. And I think I think she's competent in delivering policy. She's quite quick. She's like bang, bang, bang. She knows what she's going to do. She's going to outline it.
I think if Labour want to continue on the direction even more effectively of pandering to reform, I think Shabana Mahmood would be the most obvious person to pick. I think Shabana Mahmood, like, if you really delve into the fundamentals, reform I'd like to classify as a right wing socially, but I'd say actually a left wing economically. I think they wanted to increase benefits. They wanted to also, by the way, if anyone's seen this gaffe from Nigel Farage saying they would not raise taxes in the local elections, I mean, that's absolute like waffle. He literally said a reform county council will cut your taxes. Oh, no, I never said that. No, you did say that, Nigel, come on.
yeah.
So, and also, they want to nationalise steel. I just classify them as left-wing economically. And I think Shabana Mahmood is actually in that headspace as well.
Yeah.
I don't think she's going to defect to reform because she's got a lot, I wouldn't say she's got a lot to lose, but she's in a pretty good spot as it is now.
In terms of her position in cabinet, she's
the Home Secretary, and this is where she can actually kind of deliver. And if she was going to pose a leadership bid, then she'd be like, okay, this is what I did. I fixed the justice system. David broke it. I fixed the Home Office from what the Tories and Yvette left me. And I think as far as experience-wise, I think she has it in well.
Yeah, I think, to be honest, for the Labour Party, I think she's a bit too radical.
I don't know if you think the same.
But just in terms of her policies, the idea of people having a temporary refugee status and then being sent home if their country is deemed safe is ridiculous. I mean, how do you deem that a country is safe? Like, surely somebody wants to move to the UK, okay, and if they migrate, legally,
mm-hmm.
okay, well, you can't just kick them out because their country is safe now.
Illegally or legally?
Illegally.
Well, what I would say is, okay, if you were in possession of illegal drugs, like cocaine, this is a huge hypothetical, or if someone was, I'm not going to say you, actually. They put you in a bad light, but but the point is, if someone...
Just to clarify, I've not been doing any of that.
No, sorry, okay, that's probably a bad example. Or subject. But if one was to be in possession of cocaine or heroin, illegal drugs, illegal, do you think they should face penalties or be arrested if they're dealing those drugs, if they're illegal?
Depends who's in power at the time. I'll be honest, if the Greens are in control...
No, no, no. Okay, this is not about... This is not fundamentally, if something is illegal...
If something's illegal, you should be punished for it.
They are illegal. Illegal is against the law.
Yeah, it should be punished.
So they have broken the law.
Yeah, they should
so
be punished.
So they are basically criminals.
Yeah, they should be punished, yeah.
Yes, exactly. So I don't think we should have criminals roaming our streets. Okay. I don't think we should be... No.
But a refugee is not a criminal.
Well, they came in illegally. They committed a crime.
No, I'm not saying that...
Technically, they are a criminal.
Well,
a criminal is someone who commits a crime. And if they came in illegally, they committed a crime.
Okay, what if they were escaping persecution?
Well, they should apply legally. And they should apply for refugee status.
But what if they can't apply?
How can they not apply?
Well, I don't know
they
how...
They can easily apply.
I don't know how the system works.
I think fundamentally, I'm not going to say that they're crooks and thieves, but as far they are technically criminals because they've broken the law. And this is not being dehumanizing to them.
No. I see where you're coming from. In terms of...
But in a humanitarian perspective,
they're not criminals. They're looking for refuge.
Yes, but as far as the law is concerned, they've broken the law.
Okay, so what would you do with them then?
I would deport them.
Deport them where?
To where they came from.
So back to
If it is deemed safe.
Okay, so how do you deem it safe then?
Well, look at the travel guides. The US said, oh, everyone get out of Iraq. They put a level 4 restriction.
Okay. I understand. So if you're saying then that place is not safe for them to go back to, where are you deporting them to?
We'll pull a Rwanda.
You're not pulling a Rwanda.
Yes.
Okay,
think about Italy. A lot of North Africans have been going across the Mediterranean to Sicily. They've done a deal with Albania where they're going to process asylum claims in Albania. So they're going to deport or send their illegal migrants to Albania, and if their application is approved, they can be brought back to Italy. I think that's a much better model, and that is fundamentally that was what the Rwanda deal tried to do: offshore processing of illegal migrant applications or asylum seeker applications. I think that is the correct approach. I don't know what country you would do. Maybe you do Albania, like the Italians. Rwanda, yes, that's pretty far away, and the flights are pretty expensive. So maybe Rwanda wasn't the best country to pick. But certainly there are some European...
Well, there must have been a reason why they picked Rwanda. Like, they're not just...
Well, they did,
not,
they did yeah, a deal. Yeah. Rwanda was the
yeah,
first...
They're not just picking countries
them.
Out of a hat. Like,
well,
this
obviously
is not...
not. But I think maybe Rwanda was a bad country, but I think in principle it was definitely
yeah,
the right thing to do.
Yeah, principle is correct, but why does... Just, I don't know if you want to explain this to me, but why should Rwanda have to... I don't know, deal or house these illegal
Because they want
immigrants
money and we'd pay them to do that. And if they want the money, they'll be more than happy to do that. Also, it's not a huge problem for them in the sense that it is for us.
Okay, I see what you mean. Yeah.
So, like, we don't have overpopulation, but, like, Rwanda are not better.
But Rwanda will eventually because they're going to urbanise and eventually...
Okay,
they're
I see what you're doing with the GCSE geography. I see what you're doing, but...
I'm not doing anything, okay?
No, okay, but...
I'm just expressing my view.
Yes, okay, and I respect your view, and I'm coming around to understanding it. Whilst I don't agree with it entirely, I can listen to it, and I respect you for listening to my view, but I think the point is yes, they're going to... In maybe 20, 30 years, Rwanda is probably not going to be the best country to do, but that's 20 or 30 years.
Okay.
That we're talking about now. And I think that's why, I think a deterrent, a foreign, like, deportation, temporary deterrent is definitely the best thing to do. I'm not against the Rwanda deal. Yes, it was a bit far away as far as fuel costs or, like, actual logistics are concerned. But I think Albania would be a very, considering they're doing deals with Italy, I think they'd be actually quite good people to come and talk to. So that's my stance immigration. You obviously asked how I felt socially. That's some of my right-wing social views. And to be honest, I'm not really scared to like shed them.
Well, of course, I mean, it's freedom of speech
them.
In this country. You
well,
know,
yes, exactly.
You're perfectly entitled to your opinion.
And also, it's probably, well, I mean, people can say, well, it's so controversial, but like, it's not, because if you think about it, the Tories, they've got about 20% of the vote, Reform about 25% of the vote. So I've got, Restore probably 5% of the vote. So I've got more than half the country behind me. So that's my stance on immigration. I like Shabana Mahmood, obviously, because she's very competent. She shares fundamentally the same immigration views as I do, or at least the same rhetoric I get from her. But yeah, I think it's a shame because she won't be elected because she's too right-wing.
Yeah, and that's, apart from our spiral into immigration, that is fundamentally...
That's her main grievance.
That is fundamentally what is the red light,
yes.
To be honest with her. And, okay, we're just going to move on quickly because we're a bit short of time now into our 2029 general election predictions and the sort of trends that could be seen from we obviously had the Gorton Denton by-election. You were obviously talking a lot about how this is a surge for the Greens, and I'm just going to ask you now face to face whether you think that the Greens are going to be able to sustain this.
I think it rests entirely on who becomes the leader of the Labour Party next. Entirely.
And why is that?
If they elect someone who's left-wing, the Greens are going to think...
Oh, no.
Green supporters. No, they're not going to think, oh, no.
Well, no, they're going to think that...
oh, yes, Labour. They're finally back to the party I love, and they're all going to go back to Labour.
Yeah.
And the Greens are not going to sustain that. But if they elect, if Keir doesn't go in a long period of time or a short period of time, they're going to be like, you know what? Labour Party is rotten to its core with centrists. The Greens are the only people that, or your party, God forbid, are the only people that respect or represent my view. And that respect, I think the sky, not the sky, but all those Labour supporters, they do have the potential of going to the Greens if they become the most, or if they become the left-wing party of the UK, is what Reform would like to think they are on the right.
Well, do you not also think then that a lot of Conservative voters might be moved to Reform, or vice versa?
I think a lot of Reform supporters could go to the Tories.
And is that just because of the way the Tories are moving in the polls right now? I think if you think about it,
Reform, I mean, if we're going to talk like biology terms and kind of nutrition, I think Reform are full of like sugars. Like,
okay, no, okay. No, I'll let you go okay, with no, the analogy. Just, I'll let you go with the analogy.
With me on this.
Okay, yeah. I think Reform is the sugar. Full of,
actually, no, maybe carbs is better. But basically, short-term energy, yeah?
But not long-term, okay.
Not long-term. So but if you see their polling, it's a bit of an arc. They're kind of going down now. But they've had a huge high in the summer, and now they're kind of going down. I think the Tories are a bit more kind of like, obviously not
bit
fat.
More consistent.
But they've got long-term energy, and I think they've come down. They've done a lot of thinking because they know that they're in a really terrible position. Did the budget. Budget went really well. Now economy's being a bit more of a prominent issue, as well as housing, all that stuff. Now the Tories are actually the one who are raising the issues, like student loans, like fuel duty, like those things. Like, they're the ones who are actually igniting those conversations.
Speaking to the population.
Good. And yes, and the people are listening to them. I think the Tories are much more match fit to go into the next election saying, okay, we have experience. Some of it's not good, but this is a fresh face. Kemi's the leader, not Rishi. You're not electing the last government because you kicked a third or two thirds of them out at the last election. I think, yes, people aren't going to hear that yet, but considering where the Tories are, they only came second as far as donations are concerned past political donations in 2025 by, well, not that much. I don't have the exact figure for you. I know they came second, but and Reform came first, but considering they're at quite a low level, that is very good for them. They actually came first. I think it must have been the first 3 months of 2025, maybe first 4 months, even 6 months, I don't know. They came first, but I think the Tories, they're gonna, obviously I'm really biased, but I think the Tories are much more, they speak to me more, I think they speak to the country more, because yes, they've got economic, maybe they've got, I don't want to say economic credibility, but I think they've built back a lot of economic credibility,
especially after election. All the credibility that they did lose.
Well, they lost a lot from
Liz Truss.
Which is, yeah.
Who was pretty much...
If you don't know Liz Truss, then get your head out the sand.
You need to read a book.
Yeah, stop living under a rock. But I think they've seen that. They've learnt their lessons and they're now becoming far more responsible.
And would you say that... Well, I don't know if you feel this way as well, but I feel like the Conservatives will be able to appeal to young voters.
I think
Labour Party, especially they're going to bring in the obviously 16-year-olds.
Social media reform. I think actually they're looking at younger voters far more than any other party.
And that is the way
social media bans for under 16s, stamp duty, student loans.
No, the social media ban won't.
It won't affect them.
It won't happen. No.
What do you mean it won't?
It won't because
They're considering it.
They're considering it, but realistically, it's going to take a lot of, not more time
and effort to get the legislation
passed. No, but Australia and us, we're just different countries in the way we operate and view social media. Australia are quick and efficient, okay? Especially with lockdowns and the COVID. They were one of the first countries to do it, okay?
We were the first country in the world to roll out the vaccine.
Roll out the vaccination, but they were the first to officially lock down.
Okay, yes, but we're the first country to actually solve the problem.
Okay, all right. We're the first to solve the
problem. We both speak English. Christianity is quite a big religion.
I don't know what this has to do with social media. I'm just talking about how...
Well, no, you're just saying they're quite different places.
No, I'm just saying that
they've got a lower chain. They've got a bicameral parliament. Okay. They're run by a left-wing government, actually, in Labour. I think they're very similar.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I think it's going to take more time.
A lot of farmers.
No, it's going to take more time to get the legislation passed.
What, like, okay. No, I don't think it will.
And why is that?
Because I think if the Tories support it, if Labour support it, they can go straight through the Commons, straight through the Lords, and
okay, but
boom,
the thing is looking at what Labour's going to do, because obviously...
Well, we don't know what Labour's going to do, but in the scenario, which is what we're talking about, if they do support it, then you can only assume
obviously Labour support it as well, it's going to go through, but I'm thinking about what percentage of the Labour Party is going to support it, or how many people are going to... stay supporting the legislation, or I don't know, changing
their
mind.
Given that the Labour Party is a left-wing party that believes in a bigger government, a bigger state, more red tape or restrictions, I think it's actually the opposite. I think there are far more Labour MPs right now that are actually pro social media bans, especially looking at all this grooming gang stuff that's been going on for the last year.
Well, it's appalling, really.
Well, it is appalling, but you can only assume that social media has been a bit of a part of this.
I 100% agree that...
But, like, given where they are politically, I think that would be a good kind of...
I agree that it will go through.
Yeah.
Will go through eventually. It's just how long it's going to take, because we're quite slow when it comes to this sort of thing.
Yes,
we're not the most efficient nation when it comes to passing laws.
Well, yes, it does its first reading, second reading, third reading. I think it'll be past that fine. Goes to the Lords. They want to make amendments, they can do that. Then they send it back, first reading, second reading, third reading, goes back to the Lords. But if the Lords support it, or the
then it'll be quick.
Then it goes
quicker.
Straight to the King, yeah. And it gets royal assent. And then that's law.
Yeah.
So then that's fine.
Okay.
But yes, I don't know how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
It could be anything. It could be 1 year, it could be a billion years.
Okay.
Anything.
And in terms of looking at the Greens and reform and how they might do it the next election. I mean, we've obviously touched upon... Actually, we haven't even touched on the Lib Dems. I mean, they had their party conference a couple of days ago and there was zero media coverage.
Yeah, irrelevant.
Yeah.
Irrelevant.
They are never... I mean, no offence to them.
They've got 72
but
MPs.
They're too...
That's the largest third-party caucus in British history.
Yeah, but they're too wishy-washy. There's nothing there.
Well, I don't see what they support.
Well, that's the... Yeah, that's what... I agree with you there as well. There is...
What are they going to do? Oh, yeah, we're going to split the Treasury. Okay, what are you going to do? I don't know.
Split the Treasury.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to say
Department
the same
Department for Growth and Department for Finances or something stupid.
Like when we had our dream cabinet, we just chucked them in, copy and paste. I was the copy and paste, guys, what you were saying.
Yeah.
But in terms of a socialist view, I don't know, health and social care, we would have them. But in terms of a government, never in a million years.
Exactly.
I mean, no offence to Ed Davey, but he doesn't have what it takes. He's not serious enough.
He's not. I mean,
and
just look at his general election campaign in 2024.
I mean, he was just skydiving out of planes. Like, what are you doing? If you want to be the prime minister,
if you want to be the prime minister
of this country, you have to actually show for it.
What were you doing on election night? Oh yeah, I was just banging drums with some old nannies in an old care home. Like, what are you doing? What are you doing?
And in terms of the Green Party,
Before we go on to the Greens, I think the Lib Dems are going to actually lose a lot of support, especially in the South, in the Blue Wall.
No, I'm not surprised, because to be honest, they aren't doing anything.
Because they're not delivering anything.
There is zero showmanship in terms of what they're going to actually do, realistically.
I think it would be worse. I think it'd actually be bad for the Lib Dems.
Like, reform...
I think if it looks like, there's going to be a hung parliament the next election... If Labour are short of majority, the first people they're going to go to are the Lib Dems. And I don't think a lot of Lib Dem supporters are going to be actually happy. They're not going to be, not, I wouldn't say happy. I don't think actually a lot of people tactically voted for the Lib Dems at the last election. I don't think people are going to be comfortable with voting for an MP who isn't Labour, but might as well be Labour, because they know that they're probably going to go into a coalition with Labour, and that'll be a Labour-Lib Dem coalition, or it'll be a coalition of chaos. So I think they'd centre around the Tories, because they know, oh, they're definitely not going to go into coalition with this appalling party, the Labour Party. And I think on that front, there are tons of seats. Middle England is what they're calling them, kind of comfortable economically. They don't have too many radical views. They're kind of in the middle. They just care about the money in their pocket. I think the Lib Dems will lose a lot of support about that voter class.
Yeah, I agree with you as well in terms of that as well. But in terms of looking at, the Green Party you were talking, a couple of days ago in maths. Before the lesson started, we were looking at the polls, and you told me that there was a dip. Am I correct in saying that there was, obviously there was an increase?
Yeah, so YouGov. So obviously I love polls. I've got one poll. How many have I got? I've got one tab, two tabs, three tabs, four tabs, five tabs, six tabs, seven tabs. Seven tabs for polls and poll trackers on my laptop. The latest YouGov poll put the Greens on 19%.
And what were they
on? The poll before that was 21%. So they've gone down a little bit.
They've gone down a little bit. But do you think that that's going to keep on happening? Or do you think there's going to be...
I think they'll hold steady. I think maybe they go up. Maybe they hold steady. Maybe they go up one or two.
Maybe
go down one or two. I don't know. But I think around...
They're going to stay in that region.
Around 18% is what I'm going to put them on right now. Tories, they're around 18%, but they've got a lot of potential.
Yeah.
If you look at voter consideration, Tories, I think, are the highest. Actually, no, the Greens are the highest. And then the Tories are second. Reform, what they were polling was 27%. What people who would consider them was 28%. So they basically maxed out as much support as they can. And that's why you're seeing quite a dip. Because they're saying they've lost the momentum, basically. And the Greens have gained that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The Tories arguably are gaining that as well.
Yeah.
Their polling increase after the budget.
And in terms of reform, I mean, just touching upon them before we a wrap for the day and the week. I feel like a lot of people, when it comes to the election, will end up, a lot of voters who voted for or are currently voting for reform now in these polls will move to the Conservative Party. Only because I feel like people are going to think that, why would we vote for a Tories, as you said, was it 0.5?
0.5, yes.
When we can actually have there might not be the finished article just yet, the Conservative Party now, but they have actually had experience in office and people who have held roles. Okay, you've got James Cleverly in there, you've got
James
Kane Badenoch.
They've had roles
in cabinet, and yet Nigel Farage is just bringing people over from the Conservatives who have never actually...
Failed Tories, as Keir Starmer likes to call them.
I mean, to be honest, Robert Jenrick, I mean, you've expressed he's Robert Jenrick. I mean, what's the actual... Why are people going to vote for his economics?
Treasury, he failed.
No one's going to vote for his economics.
Reform, he's failing. Since he joined, reform has gone down.
And even, there was an article the other day talking about Richard Tice has got...
Today, he's going out, Labour are calling, there's a tax scandal.
Yeah, he's got more than £200,000 of tax that he's not paid.
Yes.
And that's just, you're going to scrutinise them even more. And I just feel like going into the election, people are just going to think, why would I vote in a party that has zero experience, who has a leader who has never led the country before? It's his first time ever being voted into Parliament, when realistically I can have the better version of that party. Who are more moderate than Reform, and who are more experienced.
Yes.
Don't you think?
100%.
Okay. I agree. So this week, we have mapped the battlefield for 2029, looked at potential challenges for Keir Starmer, and examined potentially which seats could decide Britain's next government. Whether it's swing seats or party leadership, politics in the UK is entering a period of high volatility, and no leader can take support for granted. The real question isn't just who wins power, but who can maintain it responsibly in a fractured, unpredictable landscape. Thank you for listening to Beyond the Ballot, and join us next week as we continue unpacking the forces shaping politics at home and abroad. See you next time. Thank you very much.
Thank you.